I'm not prepared. You're prepared. I'm not prepared. This is the first time.
You're not supposed to be prepared if I'm interviewing you.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Yeah. I'm the one that's supposed to be prepared. So I thought on the flight home after seeing and hearing how amazingly you played at the NASSC. I said all the letters correctly, right? Okay. Tournament. It's hard with all these acronyms. NASA. Anyways, I was so proud from a goalkeeper to see how well you played that I just felt like I had to interview you. My first question is, when did you start playing beach soccer in general? And like, what made you start this podcast? I feel like they go hand in hand.
Sure. So the North American Sand Soccer Championship. So I'm from Virginia and I've always played in that tournament. I played just growing up with club teams. I played co-ed with my friends. Like that always tournament brought me beach soccer. I never played at the level that we are currently playing at until like a couple years ago. So like I had only been a spectator, a fan. If you had been there when Barcelona brought a team, Pacheco was on that team and they just had an insane roster. And watching that just continued to make me passionate about beach soccer. I made full on beach soccer on Instagram. And at first it was just like highlight videos. It was just like, not many people get to see this. So I want to like try to get in front of more people.
Show the really cool stuff about beach soccer.
Exactly. Cause like, that's how you first get people. I feel like before they actually play. And then they're like, wow, I really actually enjoy this. And then the podcast, it was pandemic born.
A
positive thing out of the pandemic. I was like, I can no longer sit here and not do something related to beach soccer. And I had been thinking about doing a podcast for a while because I listened to podcasts. And then I texted Megan and was just like, hey, so I want to do a podcast and I want you to be my first guest. And she was down. And then
awesome. If I had to pick the first, she would have been my first pick too.
She's so fun to talk to. She's so with it.
Now you know why she's my beach soccer best friend. Knowing the two of us, is that a surprise?
That's fantastic.
Okay, so leading into the tournament, you got to play the first game completely on the field, correct?
The first two games.
First two games, okay. So I unfortunately, because of the way SoCal was set for the schedule, I couldn't watch you guys. We were either playing at the warming up at the same time or finishing at the same, like I missed the first two games. So I missed you playing on the field, but I did pay attention to the fact that you guys did not have a coach, right?
So Martin from MBSL, he's you know, down in Florida. He's been very well connected. He threw the team together, Alan. Awesome. And so the team didn't have a coach, no, but it definitely had leaders on the team to where everybody was on the same page about how we were going to go.
I didn't mean to interrupt. We've learned from NBSL, you don't necessarily need to have a coach.
That's true.
Tournaments without a coach. I just was very interested to know for this tournament where it's prevalent to have a coach that, you know, you guys were the only team that didn't, both male and aside, which I'm not saying that's a negative. I'm more leading into this question of what the discussion was after Esteban's injury to go in goal, because I feel like that's a coach's decision. And when a lot of leaders on the team, who makes that decision?
So it's funny. There are a lot of leaders on our team, and a lot of those leaders step up on the field, off the field, everything. It's very funny where all those leaders got quiet when in the group chat we were like, hey, Esteban's hurt. The only preface is with Martin took Esteban to the hospital to get checked out. Like we were at all like thinking that he fractured something or.
Yeah. So I missed that. So I didn't get to see it too. So I missed the play. And like, I got to talk to Esteban like in the player's tent. And I asked him, I was like, hey bud, like you okay? Like what's happening? Cause a different tangent is that there wasn't a lot of goalkeeper protection that tournament. So I was like, what happened? Who do I need to talk to? So we as a goalkeeper union are protected.
And he played the remainder of that second game injured. Wow. He played through it. So, you know, I think the injury was towards the end of the game, but he still played on it. So sure. Like,
yeah,
played on it. And then instantly
right thereafter, that's a huge testament to.
Yeah, no doubt. He held his own. And then Martin took him to the hospital And then you see our WhatsApp group chat go, so on the off chance Esteban cannot play tomorrow, who's going to play in goal?
Is this Martin saying this?
Martin is saying
this. Oh, no.
And so nobody says anything for probably like crickets. two hours.
Cricket emojis weren't even like put into
it. Yeah, no. Nobody says anything. And so I'm like just staring at this group chat. And the only reason that I opted in to say, hey, I'll do it. And I mean, not the only reason, but like in Santa Cruz, we play pickup. And I occasionally play goalie. Like it's nothing as serious as this competition or high level, but playing goalie, like if we need somebody to play goalie, like I'll occasionally play goalie. So I said in the group chat, it's like, if no one else can do it, I'll do it. Like that, it was that unsure.
Not if no one else.
Yes, 100%. And so the response after that was the clapping hand emoji, everyone was just like hyped because, you know, nobody really wants to step in goal if you're not comfortable. Like it's a tough position, period. Yeah. So we wake up the next morning and I go to grab coffee with some of the team and there was no if, and, or buts about it. Esteban's on crutches, like booted up. Like
there's no chance. Yeah.
I'm playing goalie. And that's how that went.
Okay. So on that note, what were your first, if you can remember them, what were your first thoughts knowing that, okay, show up to coffee, the Esteban's out. Oh my gosh, I have to do this. What were your thoughts?
So my first thought was whether or not I was going to wear gloves. Cause I don't know if I was going to wear gloves.
Right. And what, okay. So I don't want to hurt your, but like, what were your pros and cons of gloves versus no gloves? Because that's like a new discussion right now amongst the goalkeepers.
So a non, like an observation is more of like, were they going to smell? I don't know. That was one of my observations.
They're going to smell.
Someone's gloves smell? I'm not sure.
Real stinky. You want to know a hack? If they're super stinky, after the fact, you wash your hands with toothpaste and it cuts the stink.
Okay. So everyone who plays goalkeeper and is listening to this, keep note of that tip. That's a solid tip.
I don't know
tip.
What it is about the toothpaste, but
that is a solid tip. So I, a couple things, like for one, and it's something that you and I talked about prior to this and we'll get into it. I can throw without gloves, but like gloves that aren't necessarily particularly fit to my hand, like that's going to make it a little bit more challenging.
Yes.
The pros would be, I knew I'm about to get shot at pretty high speeds.
Yeah, so nice velocity, momentum. Yeah.
Wanting to protect my fingers was a huge thing. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going with gloves ultimately, but that was one of the things I was thinking about. And then something that I was like talking myself through was you can play with your feet. Yeah. So it knowing and watching a lot of beach soccer, that was kind of boosting my confidence because it was like, I know when they come to me, I play the ball out. If they don't come to me, I step up and I shoot it if I need to.
Yeah. And your feet are solid already. You have that foundational solid piece.
They're okay. My feet are okay.
When I started as a goalkeeper, I had the goalkeeping down, but not my feet. So like,
sure.
With it, with your feet.
And that's the other thing I thought about also. I think the last thing was like, I'm trying to understand, I don't have the goalkeeper instinct. Like that's not something I've developed. So that was something I was thinking about, like trying to understand, you know, looking at a player when they're shooting it at you, they sometimes give away where they're shooting it. So then that plays a role, or sometimes you have to go based off reaction, and that's something. So,
and it's tricky if you don't have that foundational reaction time, like that's a hard, but I think you've proved that you have that foundational reaction though.
I think it was decent athleticism that kept me in the game.
Well, I mean, so this is my next question going into this. You saved two PKs, one of which was against the league goal scorer for CONCACAF. So you have really good foundational athleticism and reactionary skills to be able to save a PK. That's something that, you know, some professional goalkeepers can't do. And you rolled into it and you did it. Tell me how you felt like when the PK was called, while the PK was happening, and then after the PK. Because that's how my brain works when I get into those situations. So I want to hear your perspective.
So the PKs that happened were based off of bikes getting thrown and then our guys not being able to block them properly without impeding on the progress. Or I think Frank's more particularly was Alvaro was, you know, getting in tight with him and caught in front of him. But then I think Frank ultimately did a good job of selling it enough.
I was going to say, on that note, how was his dramatic reaction? Because one of my coaching points after this weekend is that I need to be better about my dramatics. Calls for me because I am not so good with my drama skills.
I hear you. I think I've noticed a lot that there are players who are phenomenal at drawing fouls and there are players that wish they were phenomenal at drawing fouls. There's a little bit of both. I would say he made it look pretty good and Marizillion's the team that he played on generally brings a good crowd. So as soon as he got touched, it was like, hey, and then that adds to it. And, but yeah, so that happens. And
it gets called. What's your brain?
It gets called. And so one thing I will say also is that the tent behind me, like they kept me going like that there. For those of you who don't know, at this competition, there's a tent behind one of the nets that all the pros and premier players get to sit behind and, you know, watch games. And it's kind of designated for them.
And pre-COVID, the other goal has a bar behind the goal.
Yes. The other one had a beer tent in which also very valuable and fun. Yeah. So I'm posted up at the goal with that tent behind me and everyone's hyping me up because it's always great. If it's a PK against a goalie who's actually a goalkeeper, like
one thing,
it's one thing, but when it's obviously someone who doesn't play goalie, they're rooting for you 100%. Even if they are El Salvador,
you're the underdog.
And like a Frank's fan, they're kind of low key. Like it'd be kind of cool if he saved that.
Yeah.
So as I'm like, I'm not paying attention to, you know, them arguing with the ref at all. I'm looking at the tent. I turn around. I'm like kicking sand around and I see Mike Vollmer.
Yep. That's a good eye to see.
And he's like, you got it. And he kind of just pointed one way and it ultimately ended up being the way I went and the way that I saved. But he was kind of just like, you got to just go for it. And everyone's screaming at me from behind the tent. And I'm, you know, I'm hyped about it. I'm also like, damn, this is a PK.
The odds are against you as a goalkeeper. It's like, what, like all of 9 or 6 yards away. Like it's like,
it felt absurdly close. Like I feel for y'all.
Now that you're in our shoes.
Yeah.
How insanely close is it?
And the fact that they're putting it, you get to put it on a mound, you get to kick the crap out of it. Like
all the odds are against us.
So Frank sets up and he's, you know, I'm sitting in the middle of the net and he goes to take the kick. And I notice that he's kind of opening his hips and like, look like he's going to the side that I want to go. Mm-hmm. So I'd say he's about 3 steps away from the ball. And I like kind of fake like I'm going left and then fully commit to the right. And I was able to get my hands on it, push it out wide. And then I think one of our guys just cleared it, but it was.
I rewatched it at least 30 times.
Anna has a sick video of.
Yeah. I think that's what I watched over and over and over. Yeah. So after making that save, like what did your brain do? Like, what did you think?
The first thing I remember is the atmosphere of the stadium.
Like,
I think that was like my favorite moment just because everyone at that point was hyped. Like we also, I think we're tied at that point, or if we were maybe down by one and like, if that had gone in, we would have been pretty down on ourselves at that point.
Would have changed the momentum of the game and how the game was going.
Oh, for sure.
So I like the points that you said, because I've always been a very talented PK stopper, even since I was a kid. Like that's just something that I'm capable of doing. And and most high level keepers can do it, but it's just something that I've always felt like it's in my toolbox. And people ask me, so like when we do a training camp and my teammates that I play with and then play against, they don't like that we do PKs against each other. And I tell them, cause you know, for whatever reason, they think I have everyone's PK spot memorized in my head. Sure. If I had the space in my brain for that, man, I would be
on top of everything else that you need to know.
Yeah, on top of everything else I need to take care of between my two jobs and playing a professional sport. So I tell everyone, you know, it's the hips. I look at the hips. I look at how you open your hips. I look how you close your hips. I look at what side you look at. Some people step up and they just look dead at one corner, and then you know they're going to go to the left corner. They look, it's just, there's so many different body languages that are given away at a PK that I really don't memorize any spot that anyone has ever had. I mean, someone like Lauren, who I spend the most time with and we do PKs against each other, I couldn't tell you right now what her spot is. It's just reactionary. And I think you just, for me, I go black, like I go blackout and I just see the ball and I just know that ball needs to stay out of the net. And I like forget about everything. And then if I make the save, all of a sudden I hit it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I did it. It's there. So I didn't know if you felt anything like that or if I'm just a crazy person.
No. I'm with you. And I think from my thought process of how I take penalties and like exactly what you said, like kind of understanding that. And the great players will switch it up. Like the yes. great players, you know, and
right. they like don't have. Which is why you can't memorize PK spots.
So they can make it happen at any point. So it was really just seeing where I thought he was going to go and then kind of just going for it and went all out and it worked out. So
you made a badass save. I'm sorry. Can I say that?
No, you're good.
So on that note, this was in between our games. So I did not sleep very well the night before. So I was taking a nap and I was resting. And as much as usually when I go to these tournaments, I want to watch every single game possible. But I knew that I needed to rest to be able to perform for my game.
For sure.
So I went and I took a nap and I napped for like my hour or so. And then I wake up to a buzz in our hotel. So SoCal, we had three rooms where the majority of our team were staying at. And you could just feel this energy as soon as I woke up. And the girls were kind of like buzzing around. Everyone's checking their phone. Everyone's watching things. And I'm like, what's going on? What's happening? And then either Kylie or Allie go, Christy, Dylan's in goal. And he saved two PKs. And I go, what? Like they're playing the Marizones. Marizones, is that how you said it?
Marizones.
Yeah. I'm like, he just saved two PKs. What? And they're like, yeah. And one of them is against Frank. And I'm like, what? So I like grab all my stuff. I'm like, let's go. And like the four of us are freaking running to the stadium to try to catch the rest of this game. So then we finally show up. And then I get to be a part of that player's tent. And it just was so amazing to see the perspective outside of how I feel it and to feel that energy and feel that vibe of we were just all rooting for you. And we just want it. And like, not just you, but the team, but like, especially you, because you were in a position that it was totally out of your norm and you were absolutely killing it. And I was so sad I didn't get to see the PKs in like real time, but to be a part of that cheering squad that I also get when I'm on the field was just important for me and wonderful to see like how much our beach soccer community like backed you. And I don't know if you want to elaborate more on that.
I have so much love for everyone that was, you know, I have so much love for everyone that was supporting us. I have love for some of the guys who are Marizilians, obviously. Yeah. So like,
it was nothing against them. You were.
And to be fair, they did beat us. So ultimately, but one person I remember in particular is Tone. Mm-hmm. Antonio Chavez.
The SoCal boys, they had that.
They were lined up. And that really meant a lot. Just being able to meet everyone, you know, through competitions or through social media or however you meet anyone, like, and then being able to talk to them on any level is awesome. And then, you know, when you have a shared space where y'all are playing and you just want to see everybody, and for me personally, and I mean, a lot of people, I feel like you just want to see your people succeed or people you enjoy watching play. And that was awesome for me. So yes, that was, you know, everything. That stadium was packed all weekend pretty much. Yeah. And on top of that, you have the people that you're playing against and with, and, you know, both team, men's and women's. It's like, you just, it's awesome. It's, the atmosphere is unreal.
And there's nothing really like it outside of, you know, when I played in El Salvador, the stands were like standing room only, like sold out, like so many people. I've never had anything close to that except for this tournament. And it's not nearly on the scale as an international competition, but it still is something, and it still gives you that crowd feeling, and it makes you realize how you might perform differently in front of a crowd, because that's like ultimately the 11th player. Well, I think the referee is the 11th player of beach soccer, but like it's that 12th player, I guess, like that's involved, right? So you got the refereeing and the crowd behind you, and yeah.
You want to put on a game that you know people will stick around for and not walk to the next street.
Right, yeah. Right. So I want to ask your fatigue level. How did you feel being in goal versus when you play on the field? Because we're as field players and goalkeepers, the demand is a different kind of demand. So what were your thoughts on how the demands of more so plyometrics in the sand versus?
That's a great question. I was fatigued.
Okay. More or less, or about the same?
It was less fatigued, but the fatigue was there. I found myself looking at the clock and being like, wow, it's only been
X. Counting months. It down.
Yeah. So the rotation, obviously, of being a field player and knowing that there are a lot more rotations that way, obviously, than playing three full periods of being a keeper.
Which is the name of the position. And
And so, you know, you being a goalie and understanding the game and me watching enough people play goalie and understanding what their role is, you know, you're not standing between the net for the entirety. Like, if your players out wide need you to be able to pass it back to you, you're shifting all the way over to make sure that you're an option for them. On top of getting shot at a bunch of times, and on top of trying to pick and choose moments to where you commit to going and trying to defend a shot. Mm-hmm. There was a couple times Weto succeeded in coming towards me and shooting or jumping at me or whatever.
I think I owed him a tequila shot after
that. That was what the tequila shot was for. His hat trick was on me. So
no. I'm sorry. I'm very neutral about my tequila shots. It's for
No. I think it's warranted. But no. And then on top of that, when the play slowed down and I have possession at my feet, I need to then move forward and make somebody commit to me or not. So, right. You know, you're doing a lot more moving on top of playing all three periods all the time. So, you know,
do you feel about this new 4-second rule where we can't slow the game down? We can't.
It is going to make the game so much faster. Goalkeepers, you know, the goalkeepers that have their feet are still going to be relatively successful, but they're going to have to dish it way quicker than they've ever had to. You know, in Santa Cruz the other day, we did just like with two of our goalkeepers that play pickup traditionally, you know, Tanner ran us through a drill where it was like, he was playing the ball to the goalie and he put up his hand and started counting right away.
Yeah.
And you apply pressure. And that's obviously on a very minor scale because these goalkeepers haven't played on the international level. But I mean, if you're watching the Euros also right now, also you see it in that competition as well. Yep. So like, you know, you're still playing your goalie back. I feel like, unfortunately, you're going to see a lot less goals from goalkeepers.
Unless you got quick rabbit feet like me.
There you go.
Practicing this week.
That's what you need though, honestly. Yeah. Like, you need to be quicker than you anticipated before. And you know, there are instances where, and a perfect example for me is in the qualifiers for the men's for the World Cup, Nick Pereira and Chris Toth.
Yeah,
basically killed the game for 2 minutes because they played back and forth,
like wait till the pressure, pass it back.
And I think that game management piece is going to be going away. Yeah.
So. I'm not gonna lie, I had to pour one out for this rule. I feel like I've spent so much of this last 2 years of getting that control piece and understanding what it takes to slow the game down, because I'm typically a fast, go, go, go. Like, I don't want to say panic, but like, I just move quickly. And so then now I have to revert my brain back to this. Okay, I can't slow the game down for my teammates anymore. I can't, you know, get them rest. We can't manage the game for 2 minutes when we're up by a goal. Like, it just changes that goalkeeper game management piece. And I was really enjoying finally figuring that out. And then now I got to pour one out for it.
Well, also, you think about it on the flip side of that, the teams that are pressuring you, like teams that are successful in high pressure before this rule was established, and then now even more so, like those teams are going to be able to grind out goals more because they know that they can continually press, and the goalkeeper is just not going to be that big of an option as it was before.
But that's the nature of this sport, is that it's supposed to be a high scoring game. And, you know, it's unfortunate for us. And I say us, cause now you're a part of the goalkeeper union. It's just unfortunate now that it's like making it even harder on us, but it's all right. Cause we always rise to the occasion. Like, we'll step into goal and save two PKs if we have to. On that note, I also wanted to ask, because I saw one of your photos and your throw, which now I think we're going to be throwing a lot more with this new 4 second rule, right? My gardeners are here. I'm sorry. I'm
not. No, you're good. You're good. Super loud.
Wonder if I should I move. anyways, so on that note, we're going to be throwing more. And I saw one of your photos, and it looks like you are throwing the ball like a baseball, which is how I grew up throwing. I just wanted to know if you had like a baseball background, if that's what helped with throwing over the weekend.
It's funny, Mateo Lupo was the one who actually pointed this out to me, like after the games. He was like, the only thing I will say about you, bro, is that throw is something else. And I'm watching, you know, I'm going back and watching like you all, the actual goalkeepers throw, and it's kind of like a hook grip kind of and you, Jose does it very well. Mike's got a cannon also. So for me, I did not play baseball. I think the closest thing to that kind of sport, I played dodgeball in elementary school and middle school, but like
throwing balls at targets.
Yeah. Really not the same. So I also attribute a little bit of that to the gloves. I think Esteban has bigger hands than me. So like
they were. You know what size gloves you were wearing?
I don't.
Okay, I'll have to find out from Esteban, because I should have let you borrow mine. I'm not saying, but like I have like man hands. I wear a size 8, but like, I don't know.
Yeah. And so I still, you know, I'm happy I wore the gloves. I do think that he may have bigger hands than me, and that played a role in how I was trying to grip the ball ultimately.
I mean, if you have like extra in the tip of your finger, it might be a little more difficult to get that grip.
Sure.
I did see you warming up, and I wanted to go tell you, but then I was like, dude, he's got so much going on. Like, I can't.
You should have
like,
told me. You should have. I would have appreciated
it. I wish I would have. I just felt bad because, like, I don't, you know, just like when I'm warming up, like, I didn't want to interrupt you, and I didn't want to be like, hey, like, but I was watching your throw, and I was like, shit, I got to help. But then I was like, I don't want to step my boundaries. I didn't want like you to think that I was like, I wanted you to have as much confidence as you could. And I didn't want to be like, hey, you're doing this wrong. Like,
No. I would have appreciated any and all feedback.
Now I know. Now, this weekend, I'll show you how to do a goalkeeper throw.
Yes, please do.
The last thing that I have in my notes, the sweetest thing that you said. So after the game, I think it was immediately after that game, I just came up to you and I think I hugged you and I just was like, I'm so proud of you. And I was like, I just can't believe what you just did. And you immediately retorted with, I was just channeling my inner Christy. And I was like, oh, I never thought of myself to be someone.
So I have to say, Christy, you're a baller. And you know, I'm like I said, I watch a lot of beach soccer. I'm fortunate to have played with great goalkeepers and seen you all ball out. Like, I pick up things like any, you know, you think a
like
lot.
Like we all do.
I was like a kid trying to be impressionable. I was impressionable essentially. And so, yeah, like, you know, I see the way I've seen you make some dope saves, Christy. Like,
yeah, I don't see them because I blocked
out.
Not
to blow up your ego or anything.
No, like, I don't have an ego. Tell me more.
And like I said, so many good goalkeepers, so many great people. I think I was just the most relieved that they didn't get to double digits ultimately. So.
Yeah. And I know, like you said, it just was so perfectly timed and it just was so sweet. And then I heard you say something similar to either Vollmer or Jose. And I just was like thinking, you know, between the three of us, like Jose, Vollmer and Aldo are, you know, my closest keepers that I have in my little union. And so I love that. It's like, you know, we were in the back of your mind to help you out when, you know,
100%. Like you said, you know, the tent behind me, I always hated flipping sides because my people were on the other side.
Yeah. The final, I was so upset because I was on the other side for two periods. I'm like, I'm not with my people.
Exactly.
Like I had Vollmer and Jose and Jared, like that, just having those like little comments, like they knew exactly when and where to say it and how to build us up. And it's just so sad when you're alone on the other side.
100%. And all credit also goes to the NBSL team.
Yes. Themselves. Like, it's not just all about us. I know.
No. Yeah, right. No, but like
it takes a team.
Playing with guys who played at the highest level, Fredo, Gabe. Yeah. Gabe had a phenomenal tournament. But then also the guys that are diehard for you and like know that you don't want to get shot on just as much as they don't want somebody to shoot on you. So
That's what keeps you staying in that goal is when you know your team is doing everything they can for you and you know you're doing everything you can for them. That's being a team regardless, and then especially in sand because you've got the element of sand.
And I think the one thing, you know, all those guys before the game even started was like, we trust you. Like, do what you got to do. And that's all you could ask for. I think Alan grabbed my face and screamed and hyped me up multiple times throughout that. And, you know,
it builds like, so, you know, all of us as human beings, we lack self-confidence here and there, like no matter who you are and all the things you've won or whatever, like you're still going to have doubts. And when you have your teammates to pick you up in those moments, that's huge. And when you have teammates that you can trust and they trust you, it's just a whole different dynamic, and you know, you're just able to accomplish so much more.
100%. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Those are all my questions.
Boom. Interview done.
Yeah.